Back to My Garden, episode 87.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
What's the hottest trend in gardening? I think the hottest trend is aquaponics. Can you really grow a massive garden powered by fish? Find out more and discover the secrets to building fish-powered gardens at www.backtomygarden.com/fish. Attention garden lovers. Do you want to save time, save money, and have your most amazing garden ever? Receive free tips, strategies, and gardening techniques from passionate gardeners around the world. Join the VIP club for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/VIP. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world when you listen to this. I'm Dave Ledoux, and welcome to another episode of Back to My Garden. And today we have a great guest. We're going to go over to England. Jenny is a passionate grower and has a love of vegetable gardening. She's an avid keeper of chickens. She's into preserving, which is a big part of her life. She's into allotment gardening, and we're going to talk a lot about that. She gets all four seasons of weather in Lancashire, near Manchester in England. We have a lot of gardening to discuss. I want to welcome to the show Jenny Bowring. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to Back to My Garden.
Hi, Dave.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
For those who don't know your part of the country, can you tell us a little bit about your background, Jenny, and a little bit about how you got into gardening?
Okay. 30 years ago, when I was a first daughter, I discovered that while I was breastfeeding, that she had allergies. I discovered that if I ate certain foods, that she reacted to them. Then 16 years ago, when I had my youngest son, and I was feeding him, I discovered that when I bought organic vegetables, that his eczema, his asthma, his allergies all cleared up, and he was fine. So I decided to get a pot and grow my own vegetables. And that's where it all started.
Your allergies...
From then on, I've become...
Your allergies cleared up because of organic vegetables?
They've cleared up completely.
Wow.
I bought a whole trolley full, reduced price to about 5p, 10p a packet in a big supermarket. And for this time that we ate those, his allergies completely disappeared. He was about 3 months old. So I got a plot, started digging, and it survived in my blood. I'm hooked, addicted, and can't stop.
Wow, congratulations.
I'm 16 now. He's not had one allergic episode since. So I'm trusted it for myself.
That's amazing. What's your garden like? I guess we're winter now, the year that just passed. What was your garden like this year?
What was my garden like this year? I've grown just about everything. Sweet potatoes, carrots, beans, peas. Roads. They've got a tomato house because I've developed tomatoes with tomatoes, so I have one greenhouse that's just for tomatoes. And I've been given a massive greenhouse this year. All the pictures are all over Twitter. It's been really good. I've got rid of most of the bindweed on the plot, most of the dark leaves are gone, and we've opened an orchard on our site.
For those of you who are on social media listening today, make sure you follow Jenny on Twitter. It's at JennyBowring1, the number one, Jenny Bowring one. Jenny has a very active Twitter feed, shares her garden photos, garden information. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into preserving, Jenny?
When you get to the lots of things and you've got like 100 courgettes all growing at the same time and you've got cabbage coming out of your ears and the carrots are up to your buckets full of them and your onions are all starting to grow because you've got them in the shed and things like that, you just have to find a way to make it last throughout the year. So I started making pickles and saving things and documenting things and just trying to make them stretch as far as possible. So I have loads and loads of like cabbage pickled and beetroot pickled and all different colours of beetroot pickled. I've just recently got into like bottling things, like making tomato sauce and bottling them as opposed to freezing them to free up the freezer space. I've put things in sand to keep them, you know, fresh and things. I've tried making a, I've tried layering them in straw in the ground, I can't remember what it's called, and that didn't work. I just grew potatoes through it, it was fun. I've had quite a few grim experiences of things going off in the wrong places, but overall I think I've learned that I can keep my produce going for the whole year. So it's been good.
Outstanding. I had beetroot last night. We pickle our beets as well. They're one of our favourites.
We don't all eat beetroot, but my son loves it with like potato hash and things like that. So it's good.
Talk to me about your allotments. How big are they? How long have you been gardening on the allotment?
I started 16 years ago. It's probably 40 feet by about 80 feet. And I've got another half a plot, which is probably 60 feet by 80 feet. No, 60 feet by 40 feet. It's just a big rectangular land. I've got raised beds in some of it. I've got an asparagus bed, raspberry canes, things like that. And I've got a 20 foot by 60 foot chicken run built in there. Poop and everything. We keep 10 chickens. And we have a fruit area with trees and bushes and things. And it seems to do quite well. We mulch it and we, you know, prune and all the rest of the things that we do. I really enjoy it. I think that it's great for people to start learning. And I quite often have new people come and take a part of my patch so that they can learn from it, which is quite good.
You're a teacher. That's great.
Well, not exactly, but it works like that.
I also
get a lot of information from people.
Yeah, but
I also get a lot of information from other people. I started off with a little man next to me who was as cantankerous as anything. It was like, book off. You know what, one day when you go on, another day he'd be in line of information, he'd tell you anything you wanted to know. And I've learned such a lot, like companion plants and how to look after your plants and things like that from him.
Ah, very good.
I think it works that he's now moved on and I took on a different sort of role on the allotments. I took on the managing role and I look after a whole allotment site. It started off with, I was a young mum with a baby and a pram. Couldn't get all the paths to the plot. I had to ring the council up. Can you come and stream the plot? Can you make it possible for me to get a pram up the plot? And my plot was covered in bindweed and dock leaves. They were taller than me. The roots were deeper than three foot deep. It was a struggle. There was loads of rubbish to clear, greenhouses, and the shed had a 3 foot drop inside it. You open the door and there's a 3 foot drop. So we had to get rid of those, make it safe for the children to play on. And I think we were about 2 years in. We discovered that the waiting list was like 300 people, but there was only actually 3 plots taken. So, a very kind man called Manny from the council came and he told us that you could self-manage the plots, you could look after them, and he told us of our rights and what we were entitled to, what the council should provide for the money we were paying. And I started lobbying the council to do jobs for us. And it became like a bit of a mission. I wanted a path and I wanted it clear and I wanted the site to be full and used and everybody to enjoy themselves. So I took on the waiting list and worked quite hard getting people to take plots. When they were waiting, it's been only about 20 people long. The one-legged man couldn't have one. there's a lot of people that have died like 20 years previous or that still haven't put a name off the waiting list. So it was a bit of a struggle, but I think we managed quite well. And then self-management came up about 8 years ago, and we decided to manage the plots ourselves, me and my friend Gary. So what we've done is we've taken over the management, we've collected the rents, and we've put the money that we raised back into the plots. So the site has now got a clear path with our hard surface, every plot's fenced. And we discovered two abandoned plots at the back. So we've climbed through a fence into these plots, and we asked the neighbours what they'd like to see up in those plots. And we found there was a bit of a controversy between the council and this land, but we decided to work hard, and we eventually got the council to let us use the plots, not sell them off. Then we couldn't grow anything on them, so we planted fruit trees and created an orchard. And it's like a community thing. New plot holders come and try out the skills on it, and all plot holders come back and just spend time there. And we have a community day every 8 months to do work and to keep in touch.
Wow, congratulations. That's fantastic.
It works quite well.
A lot of work, though, isn't it?
I think that I should have been a miner in the previous life because I love digging.
Have you found any strange things in the garden? Any Iron Age remains or Viking stuff or anything? Any treasures?
We had the plot given back to us by some tenants, and we found a coffin on it and some like bags with big knots tied in them. It was a bit like eerie at first. And then we found out that she was an embalmer and that she'd left the coffin. You know, just left the coffin there, not realizing it would offend anybody.
Oh my goodness.
It's a bit strange.
Yeah. You found a coffin on the allotment.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, you did.
I wanted to ask.
One of the neighbors came. Wrong.
Oh, sorry. I wanted to ask you about your chickens. Everyone always asks me, how many eggs do you get every week?
It just depends on whether there's enough light or whether the chickens are all healthy and what they're doing and if there's any banging and shouting around. We've got 10 chickens at the moment. We've lost two over this year, which was quite sad, really. We do weigh 9 or 10 eggs all through the summer, but coming into winter, we've had one that's decided to molt, so all the feathers have fallen out. That's just in winter when it's really cold. That was a bit scary because we don't really want to boil chicken in the cold weather. But we've had one that's looked a bit off colour and hasn't laid any eggs. So over the winter now, started from the beginning of December, we've had between 2 and 6 eggs a day, which is a big drop from what we were getting earlier in the year. But they're quite happy. They follow me around because I escaped onto the plot tonight. And my daughter's boyfriend came over and said, I'll come and help the cats then. I said, oh, okay. So I put the kettle on, made 2 cups of hot chocolate, and we sat in the greenhouse and waited till they went to bed. So they've all got characters, and they're all easy to keep. I was petrified at first. I thought, I can't pick up a chicken. I don't expect me to catch one. But I got them because one of our plot holders was a mental health problem and said, could we keep chickens? I thought, it might do you some good, you know. So I got chickens even though I was terrified. But I quite like them now, and I'm the main carer for them. So it works quite well.
Nice.
And gives you somewhat different experience. I didn't know that they all laid different coloured eggs on, that they molt, and I didn't know all these things. I didn't know that, it depends what they eat, whether they have really yellow yolks. It's been a big learning curve.
Well, you didn't know that you could run an allotment either until you had to do it.
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't even know that self-management included the constitution and terms and conditions. I had no idea. I had to sort of chew the book before I could start. Well, you do what you need to do sometimes.
I know you had a good summer for your garden. What kind of a winter are you having?
I've got purple spouting broccoli, some white cabbages, lettuces, regular cabbages. I've got some winter cauliflowers, all year-round cauliflowers that are still producing curds. I've got leeks, and I've got quite a good store cupboard, so I think I'm quite okay.
Oh, very good.
I've got, I think that when you're still producing vegetables that you can eat and put on the table every day during winter, you look okay.
I'm absolutely gobsmacked. I didn't know, like, it's the middle of January and you're still growing cauliflower.
I've only got one.
But I thought you had...
the size of a tennis ball.
I thought you guys had snow, but I guess not every winter do you get snow, just once every couple of years.
We had a few flecks yesterday, but we haven't had much. But I watched the weather forecast and it was sweeping across the country and there was a little band in the middle and the little band that wasn't snow was straight across Manchester. I thought, yeah, okay, that's not snow for us. But I'm waiting for the snow because we've got a sledge and I've got a grandson who's dying to do gold sledging. But there's no snow.
I've got 3 feet on the ground and it's 20 below.
Oh, no. No. Well,
it's hard. It's hard on the animals.
I've actually. Yeah, okay. Well, the chickens are not supposed to like snow, but it's not snowed since we got them.
Yeah, but they can go indoors, right? Do you have a little little coop for them?
Yeah, they've got a coop and they've got some sheltered areas as well, so yeah, they can go inside. But apparently they're not supposed to like walking on it. So it's going to be quite amusing to go to the plot and find they've not come out because it's snowing.
On your allotments, you have other gardeners around you. What's the weirdest thing or the most interesting thing that another gardener is trying to grow on the allotment?
I'm the unusual one. I'm the one that grows silly things. I'm going to try and grow a pineapple this year.
Come on, really?
Yeah, I've read it in a magazine that you can grow a pineapple by cutting the top off very carefully and taking the shoulders off and then rooting it in some moist compost. And then you should be able to grow a pineapple plant. I'm the deaf one. I'm the one that grows asparagus peas and purple beans and things like that. We've got Cubano seeds for this year. And I grow samphire, like seaweed, like a sea plant. I grow that and put, water with salt water and have it deep fried in batter. So... I'm the odd one. My friend grows black tomatoes.
I like those.
But I'm the worst one.
I want to go back to your pineapple experiment. I believe that you can get it rooted and started. What are you going to do like in October or November with it? Are you going to leave them or dig them up?
Well, I believe I can only grow them in a greenhouse in this country. So the experiment is to try and grow it, put it in the greenhouse and pray.
I understand.
Apparently they get a metre high and a metre wide. So I've got a big enough greenhouse to put one in the corner and hope for the best. I suppose in winter I'll put some fleece around it and keep it warm.
That's exciting.
I haven't thought that far ahead because apparently it's supposed to produce a pineapple this year. So hopefully, maybe.
I don't believe there's too many gardeners in Manchester with a pineapple, so you'd be one of the only ones.
Well, I might be. If it works.
Good, good, good. You know, we're winding down here, Jenny. We're coming up, running out of time, but I want you to give some advice to the listeners. We have a lot of people who garden in small pots, little patio gardens. We have a lot of very brand new beginner rookie gardeners. You've been doing this for a number of years. Do you have any advice or suggestions for the brand new gardener?
Just don't be defeated. Things grow, things don't grow. Things damp off, things don't. Just work at it and keep going. Don't give up. You'll get surprises and you'll get defeats. everything you learn from, you can do it. And when you eat it, it tastes so much different. I've grown peppers for the past goodness knows how many years, but I could never eat pepper before. But when you grow your own, the taste is amazing. You taste the actual vegetable. You don't taste the chemicals and the water. They seem to go hand in hand. They seem to be watery and have like a less dense texture when you buy them in the shop. But you can actually taste the difference when you grow it yourself. And it's an achievement as well. When I put Christmas dinner on the table and I made fresh soup with tomatoes for the starter, and the tomatoes were straight from my greenhouse at the allotment, they were the last of the tomatoes at Christmas. It's like, it's a sense of achievement that you can't get from many other things. And knowing that my kids not got asthma and eczema and covered in spots all the time, we're not running around to doctors trying to, you know, getting some medication when we're away on holiday or something. It's really good.
Nice.
It's just, it makes it all worthwhile.
If somebody has a child or a loved one that has asthma or allergies, what advice would you give them?
Just experiment with the diet that you have and just, I don't know, you need to manage it. You need to manage it with whatever medication you've got, whatever diet you can change. You need to work out what your allergies to. I'm allergic to tomato plants, the smell of them. So I grow all my tomato plants in one greenhouse. And I take antihistamines, drink loads of water, and have a ventilator spray that I carry around with me all the time. So it's not always easy, but there's lots of different ways you can overcome things. And I chew chewing gum when I go into the greenhouse where the tomatoes are so that it stops you really breathing in the smell of them, if you can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just keep going.
Nice. We have people who listen to the show who have relatives and brothers and sisters who have never tried gardening before. If somebody's brand new, they've never gardened before, what's one thing that they should try to grow next year or this summer coming up?
One thing.
Yeah. What's the first thing you should try to grow if you're brand new?
I'd grow everything. I just plant all the seeds and grow everything. Bulbs, rhizos, onions, rhizos. Stick an onion set in and it grows an onion. I think that whatever you like to eat, try and grow it. I have terrible disasters with carrots, but I still try. There's no one thing that I would say is easy to grow. Potatoes, you get earworms. Peas are not so bad.
Yeah, peas are good. I like your onions. Onions are easy.
We've been asked on Twitter this week, we've put my leeks in tubes and it blanches the stems, so you get more white of the leek than the green. And people say, where did you get the tubes from? What did you do? How did you find those? What did you, you know, how long are they? Can I have a close up? Can I see the picture of the out of the tube in the tube? I'm like, yeah, okay. But it's all a learning curve because people are learning because I've put them in tubes. People are asking me about the tubes, like I'm asking somebody else about netting they've got around the plants and what's it for. I bought a book, Carrots Love Tomatoes or Tomatoes Love Carrots. And when I read it, it kept saying, and to keep the raccoons off and to keep the raccoons off this and to protect this. And I thought, I'm reading an American book here. But it still shows you that there's a lot of things that you can plant with other things that are beneficial to those plants that you've planted. Like if you plant parsley with asparagus, it gives the asparagus something and makes it grow better, gives it a vitality. If you plant horseradish with your potatoes, your potatoes don't get as many wireworms. And there's a tip somewhere about taking a picture of a cabbage whitefly, but not a local one to yourself, and hanging them around the cabbages. And apparently, because they're territorial, the cabbage whites won't come to your cabbages because they can see another cabbage white already there. So there's lots and lots of different tips that people give, like using water pipes to make tunnels over your vegetables, cost-effective things, because money puts people off growing vegetables because they think, oh, I can't afford to do that. I can't afford a plot because I'm going to have to buy the seeds, the tools, the shed, the curtains. But lots of things are free. There's lots of sites on the internet that you can get free things from. There's lots of cheap places. There's lots of advice. There's loads of books. There's loads of magazines. There's loads of free seeds. If you ask, you get. So my one tip, if you ask me for a tip, was if you want something or if you feel a need for something that you've got on your plot or you need, then think about where you would find that, who would use it, like water pipes, a water board, or a plumber. And then you approach several and say, have you got any offcuts, like scaffolding boards to make raised beds? You ring the scaffolding company and say, have you got any outer service boards? And you'll find that somebody does. So it doesn't have to cost you money.
Sensational tips. Very good. You know, Jenny, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you one more question. There's no right or wrong answer. If you were only allowed to grow one plant, and you were only allowed to grow one plant for the rest of your career, what is your favorite plant that you would grow?
Tomato.
Good answer. I would have said tomato too, except now I'm loving hot peppers, so I'm not sure what my answer would be.
Yeah, you're talking to somebody who's just started 6 pepper plants or 4 peppers, chili seeds.
Nice.
6 chili plants and 4 packs. Yeah, 4 packs of chili seeds. So, yeah. Tomatoes are versatile. You can add a chili to a tomato, can't you?
That's right. They're my favorite. Dear listener, we're nearly out of time. Make sure if you're on Twitter that you follow Jenny at JennyBowering1 and say hello to her. Now you have a new gardening friend in near Manchester, England. Jenny, you've been a brilliant guest. Thanks for being on the show.
Okay, thank you very much and thanks for having me.
Cheers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.